الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد النبي الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدني علما. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Dear brothers and sisters, respected listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As was, I think, notified on the group, and to those who get notifications from Mixler, that we'll be discussing briefly, but touching upon the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning Muhammad al-Mustafa, the chosen one. Indeed, we're very, very fortunate that every week on Yawm al-Jum'ah, and also on the eve of Jum'ah, which is Thursday night, because in Islam the evening precedes the day, that we have an opportunity, as we've been encouraged by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, to increase our salutations and our sending of peace and blessings, and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I've said previously, it's not because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in need of our praise, or is in need of any such thing from us. It's sufficient that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran that we have elevated and raised your name, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. It's sufficient. It's in the Holy Quran to be recited till Yawm al-Qiyamah. But it's a duty when somebody has done much for you, when somebody has done so much for you, has always looked out for you, always wants the best for you, doesn't want anything else in return, nothing of the dunya, doesn't want any favors, doesn't want any wealth, doesn't want any gifts, doesn't want any praise, doesn't want any thank yous. When you find somebody so selfless that they're willing to do anything for you, and they just want you to be the best version of yourself, they want you to reach your full potential, they want you to be wholesome, healthy, both physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, then that is indeed a rare find. And somebody who wants all of these things for us without wanting anything in return, those are the people that we naturally love, and we are willing to then in return sacrifice what little we have for them in return. This is the case for parents, because we owe so much to our parents. This is the case for friends that we owe so much to, if they've been kind to us. When any human being is kind to another, it makes us feel obliged, even if the other person is not willing to accept anything in return. But it's a natural fitrah of mankind, natural default disposition of mankind, to feel indebted to a person. But in all of these people, relatives, friends, family, neighbors, teachers, the one to whom not just us as Muslims, but the whole of mankind and jinn, the whole of humanity, the whole of creation owes the most to, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, the Khaliq, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, the last messenger, the Imam of all the prophets, Imam al-Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is therefore his right and our duty to love him. It's natural. It's absolutely natural. And everybody who is a believer in Allah and in the message and the purity and the pristine message of Islam believes that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the savior of mankind and jinn and the creation, the ultimate savior. And therefore we owe much to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We owe everything to him. So our words of praise, even these humble words by this servant being shared with friends, is not worthy of his high rank. How can we do justice to the lofty status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is why those ulama and those people who have written books and volumes and volumes about the life and on the biography known as the Seerah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said that they have not been able to do justice. A famous book, Seerat al-Nabi, by Allama Sayyid Suleiman Nadwi rahimahullah ta'ala. It's a great work. It's a really great work. And even he says, the Mu'azzin, the A'imma, they're the ones who also praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But really, imagine for a moment and take into account the fact that all over the world, so many people are praying at different times, so many people are giving adhan at different times, so many people are praying their salawat and salah. And so how many people are taking the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning he's been mentioned 24/7 throughout the cycle of the day, day or night, there are people praising him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reciting durood in salah, at least durood Ibrahim in salah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad ila al-akhir durood. But why is this? Why is it that we feel this love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One thing we touched upon at the beginning was that we owe so much to him. So what is it that we owe to him? He is our greatest benefactor. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our greatest benefactor, and he is the one that is our greatest well-wisher. Somebody who wants and wishes us well in this dunya. Our parents always want the best. Parents always want the best for their children. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and just going back to parents for a moment, parents do so to the extent of the dunya, the world, and perhaps something of the future and the akhirah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wants us to have the best of this world and the hereafter, the life of eternity. So in keeping with that, and to fully appreciate the personality of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not just in sort of abstract, that yes, a prophet of Allah came 1,445 years ago, named Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in an intellectual way, but with feeling, we should love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in doing so, What facilitates that? What helps, what aids that? With any personality, a person, if they're unacquainted with them, you don't develop love. If somebody doesn't know a father or does not know a mother, they don't automatically have love for them. You have to know them to some extent. You have to have some acquaintance, some ma'rifah, some cognizance of the person and the personality. The more you become acquainted with a personality or a person who has these amazing qualities, the more you begin to love them, and the more you begin to cherish them, and the more you want to see them and spend time with them. So there are two books that we'll be going through over the course of Ramadan and after Ramadan as well. They'll be short podcasts, 10 to 15 minutes at most. One is the Shama'il of Shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, the famous Imam and collector of a hadith, the great scholar, with the commentary by Sheikh al Hadith Muhammad bin Yahya Zakariya al-Mahajir al-Madani, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that book is known as Khasa'il al-Nabawi. So we'll start, Bismillah, with the features of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with the first hadith. The chapter on the noble features of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The author has quoted in this chapter those traditions, meaning hadith, that have been narrated on the noble features of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is impossible to accurately describe the actual beauty and elegance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To draw a pen picture of his appearance is beyond one's capability. But the Sahaba, meaning the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have endeavored, according to their respective capabilities, to preserve what little they could, of which some is written here. Imam Qurtubi, as famous scholar, says the full beauty and elegance of Sayyidina Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not been made manifest. Otherwise, it would not have been possible for man to look at him. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have done the ummah, the nation of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an immense favor by conveying to them the perfect intrinsic knowledge, as well as the perfect conspicuous elegance and beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the first hadith, and we'll just cover this hadith today. It's a brief one. So we're describing this and listening to the hadith related to the noble features. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam look like? Allahu Akbar. Some people have been blessed by seeing him in dreams, but imagine those that actually physically saw him, meaning the holy companions. Allahu Akbar. So this hadith is related on the authority of Anas radiallahu an, may Allah be pleased with him. He says, he's one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, was neither tall nor was he short. He was of medium stature. In complexion, he was neither very white like lime, nor very dark, nor brown, which results in darkness. He was an illuminate, more luminous than even the full moon of the 14th night in the lunar calendar. Those who know, the 13th, 14th, and 15th are the absolutely brightest days, nights, where the moon is absolutely bright and full. Those are the days that the Prophet ﷺ used to fast as well. The hair of Rasulullah ﷺ was neither very straight nor very curly, but slightly wavy. When he attained the age of 40, Allah Most High granted him Nabuwa, prophethood. He lived for 10 years in Mecca and in Medina for 10 years. He passed away at the age of 63 years or 60 years. At that time, there were not more than 20 white hair on his blessed head and beard. The commentary on this by Sheikh al-Hadith is, Sayyidina Rasulullah. Sayyidina means our leader. Sayyidina, our leader. Rasulullah means Rasul, means prophet. Ullah means of Allah. Sayyidina Rasulullah, because we'll come across this again and again. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was of a medium stature, but slightly taller. This has been reported in a narration from Sayyidina Hind bin Abi Hala radiallahu anha and others. An objection may arise concerning these two hadith, that it's stated in one hadith, in one tradition, in one saying, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand up in a group, he appeared to be the tallest among them. This is one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he would stand up in a group, he would come across and look as if he was the tallest to the onlooker. This was not due to his height, but was a result of his miracle, in the manner that no one had reached a higher status than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated in the hadith under discussion that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for 10 years in Makkah Mukarramah after prophethood. For this reason, it is stated that he attained the age of 60 years. This is contrary to what has been reported in the other hadith, where it is stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived there for 13 years and attained the age of 63 years. So we'll just pause there. Here it's very important to realize, if we were to just to read the Shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi, we would read the hadith. But hadith can seem contradictory. One hadith, one companion is saying that the Prophet ﷺ lived for 13 years in Medina. One hadith is saying 10 years. How do you reconcile that? That's where the scholars come in. So you see Shaykh al-Hadith, the great Imam, Muhammad bin Yahya, rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh Zakaria, he writes that you would have come across that Prophet ﷺ passed away at the age of 63. But how do we reconcile that with the 10 years here? He says most narrations show that Rasulullah ﷺ lived for 63 years. The ulama, meaning the scholars, have summed up these ahadith in two ways. First, Rasulullah ﷺ received nabuwah, meaning prophethood, at the age of 40. And risala, meaning the office of his duties, 3 years thereafter. And after that, he lived for 10 years in Makkah Mukarramah. According to this, the 3 years between prophethood and risala have been omitted in the hadith under discussion. Another explanation is that frequently in calculating, fractions of small numbers are not included. So we just give the roundup to the biggest number. For example, if somebody lived in a city for, say, 17 and a half years, you'll just say, I lived there for about 20 years, right? So people round it off. So that's the first hadith that we have studied from Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. Now I wish to read something from Huquq al-Mustafa. It's a beautiful book from one of our scholars and teachers, Sheikh Mufti Farooq, rahimullah ta'ala. He actually was made shaheed. He died in the stampede in Mina, in Hajj, some years ago. I was fortunate enough to spend some time with him, 7 days and seven nights, when he came to the UK. An amazing personality, a tower of mountain of knowledge and piety and righteousness. So he wrote this amazing book about why we have this duty to that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How was he a mercy to mankind? How is he a mercy to the world? So we'll start with the first chapter, just the first couple of lines, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll gauge. It's a very beautiful book to increase one's love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of Iman. Subhanallah. He says, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a mercy for the whole of the universe and creation, for the ummah, for his own ummah, meaning us, you and I. He was excessively shafiq, meaning very, very caring and kind. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. Imagine this. In the Holy Quran, Allah describes how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves me and you. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
عزيز عليهم ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين الرؤوف الرحيم. الله أكبر. When the translation being, when you, O Muslims, face any difficulty, and any difficulty or calamity or misfortune befalls you, it weighs heavily upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It becomes a burden, something very difficult for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, he feels our pain, and he is ever desirous. He's ever desirous of the believers that they receive the most mercy, and he is ever kind and merciful towards them. Subhanallah. Everybody should memorize this famous verse of the Holy Quran. عزيز عليهم عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين الرؤوف الرحيم. It's very oft recited. Very oft recited. The ayat of Surah Tawbah in the Holy Quran. I mean, just imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling all the Muslims and all the believers and all of mankind and all of creation that listen, this is why you should love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when you go through a difficulty, whether it's in 2024 in Birmingham, in Medina Munawwara, in Egypt, in Algeria, in America, in Canada, in Germany, wherever it may be, whatever you are going through, it weighs heavily upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do I say that? Because our deeds are shown to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, on certain days, as has been mentioned in some hadith, which we'll cover in due course. Also, it is the aqeedah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive in his grave, and his body is intact. This is the case with all the prophets. Their body is not consumed by the dust of the earth. It's one of the miracles that's granted to them even after death. We don't believe he is everywhere. We don't believe he hears everything. But whatever Allah wishes to convey to him. This is why the hadith say that when we send salutations of peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the angels convey it from afar that so-and-so, son of so-and-so, or daughter of so-and-so, has recited salawat and salam, blessings and peace upon you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when you recite salawat and salam upon me at the rawdah, meaning at his grave, his blessed tomb and grave, and then he hears it directly himself. So how does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hear it directly? Because he's alive in his grave. That's why when the Urdu ulama, all the great scholars of Islam, when they would visit Medina Munawwara, they would be on their, they were always what we would call best behavior in modern language, but they were always so respectful in awe. They would not raise their voices above the voice of the city, meaning they would not speak in loud terms with one another. In Medina Munawwara, Imam Malik, the famous Mujtahid Imam, Imam Malik, Allahu Akbar, the Imam of Medina, he would not even relieve himself and go to the toilet or the bathroom in Medina Munawwara out of respect and adab from Medina Munawwara, that my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wandered in these lands. How can I relieve myself? You see, to us it may seem a very weird concept. What's that all about? I go to Medina, Mecca, I use a toilet in the hotel. So what's wrong with that? Because we don't have that love. We're missing that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when you really love somebody, you really, that's all you can think about, you want to make sure you honor it and honor them and respect them in ways that you would never have imagined. Allahu Akbar. There's a poem in Urdu which says, a poet wrote, Muhabbat khud adab muhabbat sikhadidiya. When you love somebody, it teaches you the etiquettes of love. You don't need to read a book about how to love somebody. You don't need to read a book about what you need to do to sacrifice things for people that you love. Who reads a book about becoming a father or a mother? Nobody does. Allahu Akbar. But when you become a mother, when you become a father, you just know what to do. It's innate. It's in your fitrah. It's in your personality. It's in your DNA. It's in your spiritual, mental, emotional makeup that you know what to do. You want to do everything for that child, that baby, as they grow up, as they grow older, and they start walking and crawling, and they start saying their first words. Every parent knows what to do. Nobody reads a book and a manual on this. Similarly, when Allahu Akbar, when the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes over the heart, as it should do properly, then a person starts behaving in a way that befits that. So Imam Malik was a true lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All his life he taught the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know how much he respected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and honored the hadith. He never taught without wudu, without ritual ablution, having washed and cleansed his. I mentioned what wudu is because I know that some of the listeners who message me are new to Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love that Imam Malik had, he would do wudu. He would not go to the bathroom for passing urine or for stool in Medina Munawwara, but go outside of Medina Munawwara. Do you know how difficult that is? That means he would eat very minimal. Also, Imam Malik, once he was teaching hadith, and he began squinting as if in pain, but he continued teaching the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and he looked in discomfort. Sweat was on his brow and on his forehead. After he finished teaching the hadith with composure, he said to one of his students, "Look, raise my cloak from my back and see what is there." And they saw that a scorpion had bitten him many, many times on his back, multiple times on his back. Allahu Akbar. A scorpion, imagine, in the deserts of Arabia, because they used to teach outdoors. A scorpion came and bit him many times. Allahu Akbar. And he did not even move, flinch once. You see, when people fall in love with the opposite gender, men fall in love with women, women fall in love with men, they do all sorts of crazy things for one another. They don't even know what time they're sleeping. We shouldn't even compare that love. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. But just to give an idea and a reality check to ourselves, forget people's love for one another. That kind of a love, let's not talk about that. It does not befit the discussion that we're having about the lofty status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when people love a video game, when people love a special food that they eat regularly, right? They will eat that favorite food of theirs at all times. At night time, at 2 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, they'll wake up and they'll munch on that. People will play their favorite video games or watch their favorite program back to back again and again. How many times have you seen that film? And people say, "I've watched it 10 times, I could watch it 20 times. But this is crazy. But yet people accept this kind of craziness. People accept this kind of time wasting. People say that we've climbed Mount Everest. What did you achieve by climbing Mount Everest? Oh, we just climbed it. You put your life at risk. But what was the actual achievement? Very little. Just a lot of risk. Maybe a bit of name and fame. But the real achievement. So people are willing to go through a lot of sacrifice and hard work and mujahida and striving and struggling and go through great lengths to achieve that which the heart desires. That's the point. What the heart desires, we're willing to climb mountains. People are willing to be in nightclubs all night, dancing for 7, 8 hours just with popping a few pills and a few drinks. People are willing to play video games all night online. 10 people online, yes, I'm competing with somebody in America, I'm playing against somebody there, and I want to set my new record. People can play football all day long. People can chat about other people and do ghibah and backbiting all day long. So for all of these unnecessary and some haram activities, if people can spend hours and hours doing all of those things, hours and hours in the gym, hours and hours in the restaurants, hours and hours just at weddings, everything that the heart desires, then is it too unbelievable to believe that our ulama, our scholars of Islam, those who taught hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who engaged in dhikr, that they spend the whole night in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reading salawat and salam because they missed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of my teachers taught me a dua. He said, always make shukr. We all know this. He said, but in these words, sometimes mention shukr. I said, what word, Sheikh? He said, he's alive in South Africa, Sheikh Muhammad. Hafidhullah ta'ala. He said, recite or say, Allahumma lakal hamd, wa lakal shukr. This we all know. Ala al-Iman. O Allah, I praise you and I thank you. Upon what? Upon the Iman, the faith that you've given me. Meaning Islam. Ala al-Iman. Wal Islam. Wal Quran. And the Holy Quran that you've given us. Wa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for giving us the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning making an ummati, making me a follower of him. Wa anta sattar wa anta razzaq. And you are the one who hides faults. And you are the one who provides sustenance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more we learn about his sacrifice for us, what he's done for us, if we didn't have his uswa, his example, his sunnah, we would be lost. He taught us how to be with each other, with ourselves, how to behave, how to conduct our day, how to conduct our eating habits, how to conduct our washing, our cleansing, our sleeping, our meeting with our loved ones. How to be with our elders, how to be with our young, how to be with our old and elderly, how to be with the sick, how to be with those who are on their deathbed, how to be at the janaiz, at a funeral, how to be at the burial, how to be at a wedding, how to be at the birth of a child, to do the aqiqah, how to be when somebody is in need of something, and how to be of help to somebody, how to be with Muslims, how to be with non-Muslims, how to be with our neighbors, and how to be with our friends, how to treat our enemies. All of these things have been chalked out and shown to us in the blessed Uswa and the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-Mustafa, the chosen one, Habibullah, the beloved of Allah. So is it not befitting that we then regularly study at least a little bit every week the seerah, and the example and the character and the noble features of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will end with, this was not intended to be a long talk. I want to try and keep it within 20 minutes to 25 minutes. So inshallah, once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I miss my brothers. So the Sahaba Ikram, the holy companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we are here. We are present. Meaning we are in your company, O Rasulullah. They didn't understand. How can you miss us? We are here. We're attentive. We're before you, at your service. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, No, you are my ashab. You are my ashab. You are my companions. I miss my brothers. So they said, Who are your brothers, O Rasulullah? O Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of God, who are your brothers? He said, They are those who will come after you. They would not have seen me, but they will believe in me. And they will want to give the whole world and all that it contains just to see me once. I miss them. Allahu Akbar. You know what that means? Just contemplate that for a moment. Take that in. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam misses you and me. He misses us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was thinking about us and we weren't even born yet. He was thinking about the ummah that he was shown. Because he was shown the ummah, every single man, woman that will believe in him and his message of Islam and Tawheed until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So he was missing us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Indeed, Allah has said it most beautifully. Aziza alayhi ma'anittum, harisu alaykum bil mu'minin ra'ufu rahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to truly love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as he should be loved. May the desire be stronger each day and each breath. With each breath, may the desire to learn about the seerah and the life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam become stronger, and to follow his sunnah. And because it's Thursday night, we should have a minimum target of sending durood, salawat and salam, even if it's just sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at least, or Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, or jazallahu anna Muhammad ma huwa ahluhu, or bismillahi wa salamu ala rasulillah, or wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi, or sallallahu ala nabiyyi Muhammad, or Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Whatever it is, even if it's a short form, we should have a minimum amount that we read every day, at least 100 times. But then on Thursday nights and on Friday, we should make that at least a couple of hundred. There are people that recite salawat and salam upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10,000 times a day. Wallahi al-azim, I swear by Allah. And even more than that. But we know people, there are people here in England who recite salawat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than 10,000 times a day, along with doing everything else they do, working, looking after themselves, their families, helping people, whatever they can do. And they read that. When they read that amount, what do you think Allah does for them? How do you think they deal with what happens when the life takes its toll, which is the problems that everybody gets, life and death, sickness and health, loss of wealth, earning money, losing money, reputation rising, reputation being lost. All of these things happen with everybody. But with those who read salawat and salam, they have barakah in their life. They have khair in their life. And they have an attachment and increased love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you sit next to them, it's like a fragrance. Sitting with them is never enough. You want to spend more and more time with them. And everything that we love about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we love everything associated to him. We love Medina Munawwara because of him. We love the name Muhammad because of him. We love the name Ahmed because of him. One of our shayukh, Sheikh Abdul Rahim Mutara rahimullah ta'ala of Zambia in Africa, he never uttered the name Muhammad, even though his sons and grandsons were called Muhammad. He never took the name Muhammad without wudu. It's not fard, it's not wajib, it's not even sunnah. Just his level of taqwa was on a different level. He couldn't even bring himself to say the word Muhammad without wudu. The level of tahara that he had, that was his level of taqwa. That was his level of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Malik would not use the bathroom or relieve himself in Medina Munawwara. May Allah grant us at least a portion of this love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can elevate his sunnah, revive his sunnah, slowly but surely in our lives. Wa akhira da'wana anil hamdu rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.